This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTelia along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from D1Baseball.com, covers the SEC, Mark Etheridge. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Let's talk some ball.
Mark, they won't let me get back to Lafourche Parish, so I got to say this first. But last night, how about Nicholls State upsetting Southern Miss? Brent Herring, man, takes over, and some big moccasins there. Mike Silva did a great job for him. Now he's at Arkansas State. But, man, for the Colonels, and you talk about a total changeover roster-wise, and then they beat, you know, what Southern Miss was 13th ranked, I think, at that time. So, man, congratulations to the Colonels. I'll get you for you to comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is a big win because Southern Miss is playing really, really well. I mean, they've been one of the teams at the top of the Sun Belt. You know, you look at Troy, you look at Southern Miss, Coastal Carolina. Those are really the three teams at the top of that league. And they've been good in midweek. I mean, they've split games with Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I mean, we've ranked them for a reason. So for Nicholls to go to Biloxi and get that win, I mean, that's a huge win for the program.
Mark, last week Charlie and I were talking about this as LSU was playing Texas, and we know how good Texas is, and I know one thing: I know that manager there; he knows what he's doing. Man, that cat, he is one of the best skippers around. And so after game one, man, I got 4 or 5 text messages. Man, y'all overhyping Texas. Texas ain't that good. I didn't get no more text messages after games 2 and 3. But, man, your thoughts on that series? Because for the Tigers, the pitching let them down, but also their defense was horrible. I mean, hey, it was one drop after another, and they just couldn't piece it together. And for Texas, man, I do know that cat that's coaching there, and they're going to be right there at the end when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I was there for the Friday game, the first game of that series, and boy, Cade Anderson was so good that day, man. And then following him up, the Wofford transfer, really, Cowan, it was really just baffled them with a changeup. It just, Texas had no answer. So at that point, you're thinking, all right, you know, LSU may have a chance to make some hay this weekend. And boy, Texas came out in game two, got a good start, but really their offense is just clicking. You know, Jim Schlossnagel was the coach at Texas. You know, he was at TCU and then he was at A&M the last few years, and he's developed a reputation as a hitting coach who is really disciplined. They take a lot of pitches. They don't swing at balls out of the zone. They make you get them out. And that's what he's doing with Texas. He's taking a team that was really, I won't say undisciplined, but not nearly what they are today, and has just transformed them into an offense that really makes pitchers throw strikes. And LSU just wasn't able to miss enough bats in the zone, and that was the reason they lost that series. So I think the other thing to think about with LSU is that was the first road series. And Texas, it was their first SEC home series. They were really fired up for that, had a great crowd. Playing in that environment will only help LSU going forward. And I feel like there's a lot of players on that LSU team, newcomers, who have not played in anything like that, or if they've been there, they weren't the key guy. They were the role player, and I feel like that just going through that is going to help them going forward. Is there's plenty of other tough road trips awaiting the Tigers.
I think we kind of had to talk some people down a little bit, Mark, on Monday specifically, where it's just like, if you're talking about the toughest road matchup that LSU has this year on their schedule. Yes, they go to Norman. They play OU, who's a top 10 ranked team. Yes, they play Auburn later on in the season, a top 15 ranked team. But going to Austin, as you mentioned, in Texas's first home series of SEC play against what is right now the number 7 team in the country, it's probably the toughest it will get for this Tigers team all season long. And they were still, game 2, the pitching kind of fell off the map. I wanted to ask you specifically about, game 3 and kind of projecting into the weekend. LSU's offense, we talked with you about this last week, Mark, has been fantastic all season long. And we saw something in that game 3 against Texas that we haven't seen all season, where they had way more strikeouts than they had walks. And credit Texas's pitching staff, they bounced back last night against the Cajuns, though. Like, you saw a lot more of what you saw from all season long from this offense. So heading into the weekend series against Mississippi State, are you confident that LSU's bats kind of bounce back a little bit at Alec Box Stadium and have a good showing against the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I think Sunday was a lot more about Ruger Riojas and Dylan Volantis for Texas. Those are two really challenging pitchers to deal with. They're just different. And LSU they didn't have an answer for them. So you're not going to face those guys on every Sunday. And you may see some Friday. And I saw Mississippi State on Saturday. They were in Norman when I was up there. And they were – the thing about Mississippi State is they have a lot of really good arms and high velocity, good stuff. The question for them has just been, do they throw enough strikes? And also, do they play good enough defense? They kicked it around so bad when I was there. They committed 5 errors. They had 4 errors with no outs in the second that led to 5 unearned runs. And obviously, you're not going to win any games when you do that. And I feel like, for Mississippi State, who started 1-5, it's a big series for them. They can't go down to Baton Rouge and get swept. So I think you're going to see a much more focused, performance from Mississippi State as they go to LSU. Again, LSU catching a team at kind of a bad time, but maybe you could say the same thing of Mississippi State catching an LSU team that's kind of licking their wounds after going to Texas and it not working out.
Your thoughts on the progress we've seen from Jared Jones as a hitter, and we saw it last year. He was either a home run or a strikeout. He's become much more selective now, got much, much better, sort of eyeing up the baseball, and he hit a grand slam last night in the first inning. I wasn't sure if it was going over the fence or through the fence. I mean, man, you just heard that pop of that bat, and that guy has got some unreal power. But he's really made progress overall as a hitter.
Yeah, I mean, the ball jumps off his bat. But, it's done that for, really since he got to LSU. The difference with him is plate discipline. He understands the zone a lot better. And he'll go the other way. Friday night when I was there, he came up in a situation with runners on base, and they were just pitching him away. And he took a pitch low and away and took it the other way for a two RBI hit. And that's he would have tried to pull that. And certainly his first year, maybe even last year. And I mentioned that to Jay after the game, and Jay said, yeah, this is not the same player that we all saw in the past. He has matured and evolved as a player, and now, I mean, guys, he's one of the best hitters in the sport right now. I mean, he's really making himself some money from a pro draft standpoint, and he's one, like I said, I mean, he's got a chance to be like an SEC player of the year type.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
And then also, I mean, talking about on the mound, Cade Anderson is going to be pitching. They actually just released the pitching matchups. Pico Cone, who I believe is the reigning SEC Pitcher of the Week, is not going to be pitching that game one. He's going to be pitching on game two against Anthony Ionson. But LSU throwing Cade Anderson, who's been fantastic this season, 2.65 ERA, 56 strikeouts and 34 innings pitched, and a 5-0 record. Your thoughts on Cade entering this weekend series? And it just feels like LSU, yes, there's plenty of excellent aces in the SEC, but LSU's got their very own with Cade Anderson.
Yeah, I saw him Friday night. He was just masterful. He really dominated a really good Texas lineup, as you saw the rest of the weekend. They had no answer for him. The difference for me, seeing him last year and seeing him this year, one, he's physically bigger. Two, his velocity is better. But I think the third piece is just confidence. He just kind of understands how to pitch now. And where last year was more of a learning, it's your first year in college ball. There's a learning curve. And I feel like that he has developed into that guy, right? He's got the confidence. He's got the stuff. And he's one of the best pitchers in the country, and certainly LSU's going to have at least an even shot every Friday night out, and they're going to have the advantage most nights. And I saw what you saw. Mississippi State's throwing Evan Sieri, who's been more of a midweek or a weekend reliever kind of guy, and although he's pitched better lately, I do think it's sort of maybe a little bit of gamesmanship to try to put your best starters later in the weekend against two LSU starters who didn't throw as well, and just sort of, okay, we probably aren't going to beat Anderson anyway, so let's try to game this a little bit and have some success later in the weekend.
Mark, it's unreal because every weekend there seems to be the big series handling out in the SEC. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always enjoy your insights and breaking down the SEC for us.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge does a great job covering the SEC for D1Baseball.com.